If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin reading it, verse number 1. And let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that we can sing praises to thy matchless name. For there is none like unto our God, eternal and holy, perfect, righteous, loving, forgiving, gracious, but above all, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Righteous and true are thy judgments altogether. And Lord, we bow before you this morning and desire to worship thee, to open up your word, to be taught. Lord, to have our hearts turned more towards thee. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would have your complete will and way as we open up the word of God this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse number 2, Peter says these words. He says that you would be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And as we read 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is reminding the people that what he is speaking of is when the Lord comes, when verse 7, the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word, kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter is speaking about the ultimate judgment of God upon this world, about ungodly sinners. And he reminds him in verse number 3, he says, this is nothing new. He says, from the very beginning, since Adam and Eve, he says, we have been warned over and over and over and over again that judgment is coming. Enoch, the seventh person from Adam, the Bible says he prophesied that judgment is coming. The title of the message this morning is simply this: judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. You might think, you say, how can the world keep going on the way it is? Well, based upon the authority of God's word, judgment is coming, and it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing. And we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at how it really affected the church, the early church. Some people say, well, how did the early church thrive? How were they so bold in their witness? How did they live and stand in the days in which they live? It's because they grasped and were mindful of things that we have lost sight of in our day. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's a fearful chapter to read. It's a dreadful chapter to read, but it's reality. It's the absolute truth from God. Judgment is coming. You know, and for you and I that are saved, we shouldn't take it lightly, but we should look at it fearfully. Fearfully, because the Bible says that we scarcely escape the judgment of God. We scarcely escape the judgment of God. I don't know about you, but I can think back to some times in my life where I would look back and I'd say, wow, that was a close call. That was a close call. I know, Ray, you look back and you know one night, a Wednesday night, when it was a close call. Amen? Right? And I know that Gene Coombe, you look back and you remember up in Vermont there was a close call. And many others can look at their lives and say, wow, that was a close call. That could have been tragic. That could have been fatal. That could have been destructive. That could have been devastating. It was one time, and it doesn't come to the level of Ray or Gene or many others, but there was one time that I remember, and it sticks in my mind. It was a close call for me, and it was one day back in the 80s when we were clearing some land, and there was this oak tree, a red oak, and it was, 90 feet tall, probably 30 inches at the base. And when you cut trees, and we didn't go up and limit, we didn't have a truck, so we were just going to drop this tree and then cut it up. And when you cut trees, it's a dangerous thing, right, Bill? It's a dangerous thing. And a tree like that weighs anywhere from 6 to 8 tons. Put in perspective, your average car weighs about 2 tons. So that tree like down there in the front of the church weighs, probably like 2 or 3 cars. And so we're cutting this huge red oak and I was being careful, and any time when I used to cut trees like that, I would always make sure to check before I cut the tree of a way of escape. Right, Bill? You always look around and you look behind you and say, man, if I got to turn and run, I want to make sure there's no rocks, there's no stumps, there's an avenue of escape. Because if this thing falls the wrong way, it's a tragedy. And so we were cutting this tree, and I had made sure it was on the edge of a piece of land that we were clearing, and I was going to drop it towards the land that we were clearing. And I checked all behind me, and it was all open. There was no rocks, and I was slow cutting this and being careful because it was a massive tree. And I can remember stepping back as we cut that tree, and as it just barely started to go, and I was always cautious, and if it just started to go, I would step back. This is one thing I didn't hurry at, and I would step back and just wait for the weight of that tree to take it all the way over. And we had looked all around and tried to check everything, and this massive oak began to lean, and I'd step back about 10 feet and off to the side just a little. And praise God I did, because as that began to fall, as it began to lean, there was one vine up in the very top of that tree that was connected with another vine. And that vine, that one vine, one simple vine, kept the top of that tree from going further. And the weight of that tree and the gravity of that tree, because it couldn't go that way, the bottom of that tree, the base of that tree, had to come another way. And the base of that tree, I'll never forget it, the base of that tree, which was about, oh, probably as thick as this pulpit, it just, that 6 to 8 tons of massive tree came shooting back like just a cannonball out of a cannon. And it came back and it just caught the side of my waist right here. Just, I can remember it, it just, and it knocked me off to the side. I can remember sitting down for about a half an hour shaking, thinking that if I had been just 2 feet to the right, that I probably wouldn't be here today. And I can remember thinking, boy, I narrowly escaped what could have been tragic. And I want us to see this morning about the judgment of God, that judgment is coming. Because, you know, it was very present in the forefront of the minds of the people of the early church. It was, the way we want to do this morning is I want to go back through the history of the early church and through the writing of the New Testament so that you can see that it was always there in front of them. They never lost sight. Oh, they looked and they rejoiced in the fact that Jesus was coming again and that they were saved, but it was always in light of the fact that judgment was coming. That judgment was coming. Listen, if we lose sight of the fact that because of the mercy and grace of God, we are going to be snatched away. We are going to be caught up into the clouds. Not only to meet the Lord, but to escape the judgment of God. If we lose sight of that, listen, Jesus Christ coming for his church can be to us nothing more than an exciting ride up into glory. But it's more than that, folks. It's more than that. It's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. And from the very beginning of the church, and in fact it says, be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You know, we could go back all the way to Enoch, and we'll see that in a few moments. But you could read through the Old Testament. Psalm 2, many times you read Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage? Why did they imagine a vain thing? Why did they set themselves against the Lord and against His anointed? The Bible says that the Lord will have them in derision. He will break them in pieces like a potter. All the way through to the book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse number 1. The day comes when everything will be consumed, when there will be a fire and everything will be burnt up. Throughout the Old Testament, they were warned that judgment is coming, judgment is coming. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, if you just turn in Acts chapter 2, on that day of Pentecost, as Peter begins to preach, and he preaches in Acts chapter 2, and what a wonderful verse it is, what a wonderful call to salvation it is in verse number 21, where and thousands of people would respond and be saved. But I want you to notice something. In verse number 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, but Peter didn't set that verse, that promise from Joel chapter 2. He didn't set that all by itself. Look at the context. Look at right before that, where he had led up to. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. You know why thousands of people got saved? Because he had just preached by the Spirit of God that came upon him that day in Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon Peter and filled him with the Word of God and with the power to preach. He says, there's coming a day, the day of the Lord, a day of judgment against ungodliness, a day of judgment, a day of wrath, a day of the fierceness of the wrath of God, the judgment of God. He says, but if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Oh, it would be just 6 years later. 6 years later, and Saul would receive Jesus Christ as Savior. He would meet the Lord on the road to Damascus. He would see Jesus Christ in all His glory. And he would come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. 9 years after that, James would be killed. In Acts chapter 12, James would be killed. And 7 years after that, I just want to give you just a sense of the timeline as we go through. So Peter preaches. Folks get saved. And he says, the day of the Lord is coming. Judgment is coming. You need to be saved. And Peter preaches. Saul would get saved. James would be killed by the sword, beheaded by Herod. 7 years later, Paul would write, and one of the first letters Paul would write is 1 Thessalonians. If you want to just turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So this is one of the first, probably, there's some discussion about the exact order, but this is probably the first, one of the first letters to the churches. As they are growing in their faith, as walking with the Lord, as they're living in the midst of persecution. And Paul writes to them, a young church, an early church, a thriving church. And he writes to them, and you come down into chapter 1 and verse number 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God was spread abroad. So that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols. Wow, praise God. To serve the living and true God. Praise God. And then he says, to wait for some. But notice how it is put to the early church. Notice the context of how it is to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. And notice what he says, which delivers us from the wrath to come. He says, we're waiting. We're waiting for his son. And the reason we're waiting for his son is because he's going to come and take us home to be with him. And he's delivered us from what? He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, we could read, and I know we could read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians is a wonderful passage of scripture. And it says in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we which alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Caught up. That word caught up means to just be snatched quickly away. To be snatched quickly away. You know why? Because the moment we're snatched quickly away begins the day of the Lord. It begins the day of the Lord and the impending judgment of God. And what a fearful time it is. What a fearful day it is. But then you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 5, for verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly. You know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And over again, they understood and they were reminded. It was always before, when the Lord comes and when judgment begins, it's a time of judgment. It's a time where the holy and righteous God of eternity ultimately judges the ungodliness and the perdition of ungodly men. You go over to Paul would then write 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians, and we won't go there. But 6 years later, so now we're about 28 years after the church started, just approximately. Don't try and figure those out. But approximately 20 years after the church starts, Paul writes the book of Romans. And I want you to turn, because most of the time, even when we're talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, we go to Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We go to Romans 3:23, for the way, well, we go to the, we've all sinned, we go to the wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We go to God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, Paul didn't start there. He didn't start there. He started with something very, very arresting that would get people's attention, that would cause them to want to stop and listen to the rest of the message. And it was this. You look at Romans chapter 2. You look at Romans chapter 2. Here's where Paul starts out. Well, he starts in Romans chapter 1. But then in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such. He says, so first of all, he says, the judgment of God is according to truth. And then he said this, look at verse 3. And think thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, do a thing. Do you think that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? He says, the judgment of God is truth. And he says, are you the one that would somehow think that you're the exception to the rule of God's plan and God's holiness and God's righteousness and God's judgment? Do you think that you're the one exception that is somehow, some way going to escape the judgment of God? In fact, he goes on, or despisest thou riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so before Paul gets to the love of God at Calvary, before he gets to the blood of Christ, before he gets to the grace of God, the mercy of God, before he gets to salvation, he says, listen, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. The wrath of God upon sin is coming. Folks, it's coming. Judgment is coming. It's near. The Bible says the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is coming. It's nigh. It's near. Judgment is coming. So Paul writes Romans. 4 years later, just 4 years after Paul writes the book of Romans, he's imprisoned. He's in jail. And while in prison, he would write wonderful books of encouragement, letters of encouragement to church at Ephesus, to Philippi, to the Colossians. He would write Philemon, and he would write about all the blessings that we have in Christ. All the blessings that we have in Christ. But as he would write Ephesians, as he would write Philippians, as he would write Colossians and Philemon, James would write. James would write that book that says that we should live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But then James would write this. In James chapter 5, and verse number 8, James would write, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And James would say, be patient. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And yes, he's coming to take us out to be with himself, but the Lord is coming to execute judgment. James would write that, and shortly after that is when Peter would write. And Peter would write 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you turn there for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we can see as the time goes on in the early church, they were reminded over and over again to walk by faith, to trust in God, to be patient. For yes, the Lord is coming, and when he comes, he will receive us unto himself, and then judgment will come. Judgment will come. It's a fearful thing, folks. It's a fearful thing. And we're not to read these verses with any sense of arrogance or pride or self-righteousness. We're to read this with a fearfulness that comes to one conclusion. Thank God for his mercy in my life. Thank God for the mercy of God that the gospel came to me and I was saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No other way to look at it. No other way to think of it. But thank God I'm saved. and he's delivered me from the wrath to come. For 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13, what does Peter say? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that word hope means to just wait with confidence and anticipation. He says, just wait. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and wait and hope for the grace to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because for the rest of the world without Christ, it's judgment. It's no other word, it's judgment. It's judgment. It's the judgment of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Hey folks, it's been 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years, somewhere around 2,000 years since these words were written. Think about that. It's been probably 2,000 years. Well, maybe not quite 2,000 years, but somewhere. I'm not good with times or dates, but about 2,000 years since these words were written. And even then, Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. You see, Peter's thinking about and mindful of the ultimate judgment of God, which is a fearful thing, a terrible thing, a holy thing, a righteous thing of God. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You go down to verse number 17. And look at this. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begin at us. What shall the end of them be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And look what he says in verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If the righteous shall scarcely be saved. Peter would write these words, and it would be a short time after that, Paul would be released from prison. He'd be set free. He'd be let go. And he would write 1 Timothy. He would write 1 Timothy and Titus. And if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He writes to Timothy. He writes to Timothy and says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. He would write that, and then he would write Titus. That would be the next epistle that he would write. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, as Paul writes that, sometimes we think, well, that means he redeemed us from the iniquity within ourselves, the sin. Hey, listen, that's going further than that, folks. It's speaking about the day when Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, when everything will be burned up, when all iniquity will be purged from heaven and earth. That's a fearful day, folks. And so, in fact, he writes in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And then after Paul would write Titus is when Peter would write 2 Peter. And Peter would write 2 Peter. And he would write in verse 10, and he would say, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord will come in verse number 10 as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. And Peter says, there's coming a day when everything is going to be burned up by the judgment of God. Everything. I mean, you look around, folks. I sat on my back deck yesterday and I just looked out, and there's mornings where I get up and I sit there and the sun comes up, and what a beautiful scene it is to see the sun come up. And I look at the grass and I look at the trees and I look at the clouds and I look at all of that. But the Bible says there's coming a day when all of that is going to be consumed by fire because of the judgment of God as He cleanses all iniquity. And Peter writes and he says, that day is coming. He says, yes, there's scoffers that say, where is the promises? Yes, they say, it's all the same. Nothing has changed. He says, listen. He says, do you remember the words of the prophets? Do you remember the words of the prophets from Enoch all the way through? Do you remember the words of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord had told us and what we have said? That day is coming. Judgment is coming. Oh, Peter would write 2 Peter chapter 3, and it would only be a few years after that. Just a couple of years, and Paul would be killed. Paul would be martyred. Shortly after Paul, Peter himself would be killed. He would be martyred. Oh, just be a short time after that, 71 AD, Jerusalem would be destroyed. And 4 years later, Jude would write. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Jude. 4 years later, Jude would write. And Jude would go all the way back. All the way back. He would speak the same thing as Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. But he would take it all the way back to Enoch. And Jude would write this. It's now 75 AD. James has died. Peter has died. Paul has died. Much of the church has been martyred for the faith. And Jude would write. And he would write in verse number 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken. And Jude writes and he says, listen, you go all the way back to Enoch, all the way back through, from Enoch to the Psalms, to the prophets, to Malachi, to the apostles, to Peter and Paul, and all the words that were written, to James. And he says, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And when He comes, judgment will fall. Judgment will be executed upon all that are ungodly because of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. And so Jude would write. You know, it would not be for another 10 years before the Gospel of John would be written. Think about that. All of this has taken place. All this has been written. And it would be another 10 years where the Gospel of John would be written. And what a precious book that is to us, amen? What a precious book that is to us. What a comfort it is. Another 5 years, and John would write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then it would be another 5 years. So it's probably about 20 years. 20 years since all these epistles have been written, causing the church to be so mindful of the judgment of God. And it would be 20 years before the book of Revelation would even be written. Much of the early church didn't even have what we have. Think about that. The early church in the first 75, 90 years of the church, they didn't have revelation. They didn't have that book. But you know what they did have upon their minds and upon their hearts? They had one truth. They didn't know the details of revelation. They didn't have studies into all that was the details of what was going to take place. But they did know this, that God said there was coming a day. There was a coming a day when He would judge the world in righteousness and truth, and a holy God upon His throne would judge the ungodliness and perdition of ungodly sinners and execute His judgment. Oh, John would write Revelation, and he would write of the things which were, the things which are, and the things which are shortly to come to pass. And he would write, and we go through Revelation, and we go through and we see, Revelation chapter 6, the day of His wrath is coming. Who shall stand? And we read through, and yes, we read about a multitude that gets saved. But the majority, folks, yes, there's a multitude gets saved. But the majority, the Bible says time and time again in the book of Revelation, that as all these judgments come upon them, multitudes and multitudes, instead of repenting, it says, they repent not. They repent not of their wickedness. They repent not of their ungodliness. Instead, they get more in wrath and anger towards God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes and He sets up His kingdom for 1,000 years where He reigns in righteousness and true righteousness. And they still don't repent. They still don't get saved. And then we come to Revelation chapter 20 where it says the heavens and the earth flee away. And that's because they've been burned up and there's no place for them. And the dead, small and great, stand before God. And they stand before the throne of God. And it's not a picture of the throne in Revelation chapter 4. It's not a picture of the throne where in Revelation chapter 4, as it speaks to us, it's an encouragement to us, a comfort to us, where around the throne there's a rainbow that signifies the grace of God. And there's a sea of glass at His feet. No, it just says there's a throne. And in Revelation chapter 20, we don't see the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 20, we see one thing and only one thing. We see God, God Almighty, holy, true, and righteous. And He says, judgment has come. And the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books are opened. And they are judged according to their works. And another book is opened, which is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And they are judged according to their works. And everyone whose names are not found written in that Lamb's book of life are cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. And folks, the early church, this gripped their heart. This gripped their mind. This gripped their life. This gripped their thought. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. The fearful things. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to the fall into the hands of the living God. And I submit to you this morning, judgment is coming. 24 years ago, if you turn back to 2 Timothy for a moment. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter. 2 Timothy chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, know also, in the last day perilous times shall come. And then you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 24 years ago, I stood right here and a beloved man of God, Pastor Hunt, stood right here. And he turned to me who's going to become the young pastor, scarcely wet but behind my ears. Didn't know half of what I was doing. Didn't know three quarters. Didn't know 99% of what I was doing. And as he knew it was God's time for transition to be made at Lakes Palm Baptist Church, he stood right here and he read these words to me. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. I charge thee. And he looked at me eye to eye and he says, I charge thee. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And he looked at me, he says, Douglas Meador, I charge you right now, today. I charge you. I give you this charge. I have a thing that Harold Hayes made. It's a rod. And Harold Hayes made it. Made it out of wood, crafted it with his own hands, because Passion had given me these words. And it says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall be turned away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I tell you this morning, folks, that's a charge that was given to me. And it says, preach the word. It says two things. It says, preach doctrine. Listen, the judgment of God, the coming judgment of God, is one of the most fearful doctrines in the Bible. Judgment is coming. And it says, preach it. Be instant, in season, out of season. Listen, it's not easy to stand and preach the judgment of God. It's a fearful thing to stand and preach the judgment of God. And it says, preach doctrine and preach it with long suffering. Preach it with long suffering, with a heart that is broken for the unsaved, with a heart that is broken for the church, with a heart that is broken for God. It says, preach the word. Preach that Jesus Christ is coming. Preach that the judgment of God is a reality, that the time is at hand, the day of the Lord is at hand. He says, preach the word. The early church knew this, folks. The early church knew this. They lived in sight of this. And Peter writes, and he says, I want you to be mindful. He says, we need to be mindful. We need to have our minds stirred up. We need to be awakened to the fact, the reality that judgment is coming. And this morning, I want to give you just very briefly three things that I believe we ought to be mindful of in light of the coming judgment of God. Three things that we ought to be mindful of. Number one is our salvation. For we are only saved by the mercy and grace of God. You are not something special. I'm not something special in myself. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. According to His mercy, He saved us. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what it says. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be also holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And then it says this, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver, gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. With the precious blood of Christ. I stood yesterday afternoon at a yard sale, and there was this man, and he was looking over and some books, and he was a man that had a lot of mental challenges in his life, and he picked up a book, and I don't know what the background, I don't know what the religious background of the book was. But it had a picture of Jesus Christ on the front. And it had a crown of thorns and had blood streaming down from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he picked up this book and I heard him say to another person, and I was standing right by, and I heard him say to another person, "I love things about God. And I love things about Jesus Christ." And he picked up the book, and I happened to just say, "It's a good book. I mean, things of God and things of Jesus Christ are good." And he came over to me, and immediately we had a friendship. And he came over to me, and he started talking, and all of a sudden, he held that cover. And he looked at that cover, and all of a sudden, his attention was caught by the blood on the face of Jesus Christ. And he took the book, and he says, I don't like that picture. I don't like the blood on the face of Jesus." And I put my arm around him. And I put my arm on his shoulder and I says, "Well, listen. I know no one likes to look at blood." I said, "But here, listen to me." I says, "Jesus died on that cross, didn't he?" He goes, "Yeah." And I says, "He shed his blood so that you could have forgiveness of sin." And he says, "I know." And then he put the book down, but he says, "But I still don't like." He says, "I don't like to see the blood on the face of Jesus." And oh, we don't like to look at blood, but folks, without the precious blood of Jesus Christ, there's only one thing we could be facing. And that's standing before the judgment of God and being cast into eternity of hell, lake of fire. Oh, the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, "You wait for his son, which delivers us from the wrath of God." And folks, the first thing when we think of the judgment of God, oh, it brings us to a place where we appreciate much more our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And today I would challenge every one of you. Are you saved? Are you really saved? If you're not saved, listen, if you're not sure, if you're uncertain, you need to be certain. You need to be certain because judgment is coming. It is coming, folks. And nothing is going to stop it. Nothing is going to stop it. Judgment is coming. And the first thing is, boy, I tell you what, makes us mindful of how precious salvation is, doesn't it? That by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, we scarcely escape the judgment of God. But second of all, in 2 Peter chapter 3, it reminds us of something else. And this is why the church was so powerful. This is why the church accomplished so much. It's because they had a burden, folks, in light of the judgment of God for souls. And account that the long suffering of our God is salvation. For God is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long suffering. We look at what's going on and we say, "How? Lord, how? How can you sit and allow this to go on?" Because God is long-suffering. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it would tell us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that lie within you. But Jude would write in verse number 23. And Jude writing, "Some save." Save with fear from the fire. And folks, that's our business. That's our business. That's our work. Is to tell people, "Hey, listen, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And souls need to be saved. And so number one, be mindful of salvation, how precious it is. Number two, be mindful of souls, of men and women that need Jesus Christ, or else they will face the wrath of Almighty God. They will face the fierceness of the wrath of God. They will face the same God that loves us, the same God that says we're called the sons of God, the same God that says He's going to tabernacle with us, the same God that's going to make all things new, the same God that we are going to live eternally with. That same God they're going to stand before. And they're going to be cast into a lake of fire, eternally separated from His presence in torment because of the judgment of God against sin. But there's one more in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And you might say, "How is this really that important? I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm not going to face the judgment of God." Is this next one? So, folks, it makes it so important. Because look what Peter says in verse number 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And Peter says, listen, if you're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if you know that the judgment of God is coming, and you know that you've been spared the judgment of God only because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, what life should you be living? What manner of life should you be living? Holy and godly. Holy and godly. You want to know why? You want to really know why? Because if we're mindful of the judgment of God, and we're thankful for our salvation, if we're mindful of the judgment of God, and we have a concern for souls, then holiness and godliness would be a priority of heart and mind for this one reason. Lot. You see, Lot's a picture of the church. Lot's a picture of the church in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 19, and don't turn there, because I'm probably going to preach a whole message on this. But the Lord said to Lot, the angel said to Lot, "Listen, we need to catch you out of this city. We need to snatch you out of the city. We need to take you by the hand and pull you out of the city, yank you out of this place. Because until you are yanked out of this place, until you are caught out of this place, until you are taken out of this place, God's not going to rain down fire and judgment upon this place." And God did rain down fire and judgment upon that place. But when Lot knew what was coming, when Lot knew the judgment of God was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah, at that point, Lot sought to warn some precious people, some people that were dear to him, his sons-in-laws. And he turned, he says, "The judgment of God is coming. God is going to rain down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. God is going to destroy this city." And the Bible says his sons-in-law just looked at him and laughed. They laughed. It says he seemed as one that mocked. You know why they laughed? Because Lot, a righteous man, vexed his soul daily with the deeds of the world amongst him. And his sons-in-law looked. And they says, yeah, right. Your life doesn't back up what you're saying. And Peter says, oh, we need to live holy lives. We need to live godly lives. First of all, we need to live separated. That's my third point. Three things to be mindful of. Number one is salvation. Number two is souls. Number three is separated. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 2, it says that he should no longer should we live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men. But he says we should be living to the will of God. We should be living to the will of God. Folks, the more we look, and the more we think, and the more we are just mindful of the judgment of God, boy, we ought to be mindful of these three things. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for giving to me that precious gift of salvation. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for saving me. But Lord, there's souls out there. There's souls out there. And they need to hear the truth. Judgment is coming. And not only do they need to hear the truth, but boy, our loved ones, our families, our friends, our neighbors, they need to see a people that walks in the fear of God, that lives in the fear of God in light of the judgment of God, that lives a holy life, a righteous life, a godly life before men and before God, so that when we speak the Word of God, so that we speak the truth of the Word of God, they sit up and take notice. And they listen. And perhaps they'll be snatched from the fire and through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, be delivered from the wrath to come. Folks, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Number one, are you ready? Are you ready? Have you been saved? Are you saved? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ and you know that you're saved? Listen, if you don't have that assurance, if you can't this morning say with all assurance of your heart and your soul and your mind, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Please. You can either come as we sing the invitation song or just see me. Just say, Pastor, Pastor. I had a man just a few weeks ago. Just started crying and said, please, I need to know Jesus. Tell me how. But Christian, what about you? Are we living mindful of the judgment of God? And how are we living? How are we burdened for the lost? Are we living a holy and godly life? Judgment is coming. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank for your word this morning. Lord, and it's an awesome thing. And Lord, I don't mean that lightly. It's a dreadful thing to think of the judgment of God. But Lord, from Genesis all the way through, page after page, prophet after prophet, apostle after apostle, book after book, from Genesis through to Revelation, God, you warn, judgment is coming, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. And the scoffers may scoff, and Lord, even the church can become negligent and lose sight of the fearful judgment of God. But Lord, I pray today that our hearts have been awakened, awakened to the judgment of God, holy and righteous and true are thy judgments altogether. The judgment of God against sin, ungodliness. And yet, Lord, we thank you for the precious cross of Calvary. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. We shall never perish. Lord, help us in this moment. Lord, help us in this day, in this hour, to be mindful of thee more than we are mindful of anything else. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen.